You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. By just about any measure you could come up with, the Women's March on Washington made its point. Washington, D.C. officials estimate 500,000 people marched in the nation's capital. Across the country, some million people marched. And then people joined in around the world, from London to Berlin, Tokyo to Antarctica. One of the marchers is here with us now. Tashmika Torok is from Lansing. She traveled to Washington. She's the executive director of the Firecracker Foundation. This is a group that works with child survivors of sexual trauma. Tashmika, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Unlike other notable marches we've seen in our history, this one wasn't focused really on just one issue. What was it that impelled you to march?
I really felt it was important to be boots on the ground in Washington, D.C., across from the Capitol building, to really make the point that our children deserve a leader who recognizes that their bodies are to be respected, that their consent is to be respected, and not just children, but our women in general should have someone who can respect the bodily autonomy of all people. And that's not something that I've seen. And in my role of really being an advocate for children and their safety and their protection, I felt it was really important to be there.
When did you decide, yep, I'm going?
You know, I think I really decided that I was going the moment that I heard about it. It wasn't an easy decision for our family. We're not affluent in any way. But the moment that I knew that women were going to be gathering to demonstrate, I really wanted to be there.
Now, I'm wondering, what images or emotions really, really crystallized the day for you?
When I first got to the march and we're walking into the area where we're supposed to be gathering, I looked over to my right and there were two little girls dressed in red, white, and blue, and they started chanting, "Love, not hate, makes America great." And because my work is often with children, that was very moving for me to see children demonstrating love as our goal as a country, as something that really makes us great as a country, and that was really beautiful for me.
Tashmika, one of the things we heard consistently through the extensive coverage of the Saturday march was the issue of pro-life groups having been blocked from being partners in the march. And I'm wondering, if the march was about being inclusive and giving everyone a voice, what was to be gained by excluding pro-life groups, do you think?
You know, I am actually not sure about that. So when I think about pro-life groups, I actually feel like they should have been welcomed in. I know that there are a lot of people who are pro-life who are still pro-equality for people with disability, that still want to end racism, that still want to fight for, you know, equal pay, that are really invested in other parts of the movement, and I do feel that they should have been included. Whether I agree with that stance or not, I felt that it was really important to have everyone at the table.
What ultimate changes do you believe can come from what you were a part of on Saturday?
I believe that when women gather together and actually do the work, because we can all agree that the march wasn't the work. The march was a show. It was a demonstration. It was really getting into the public sphere and saying we are committed to this work. We are committed to showing up every day to make sure that we get equality and we get safety for the people of this country. The tangible things will come from all of these people working together. And, of course, it wasn't just women. There were people there that were men. There are people there who were on the binary of gender and don't necessarily identify as female or male, women or men. And so I think that the real tangible changes are what we've seen in the past with the civil rights movement. When people start calling their representatives, when they start showing their politicians that they do indeed work for us, that as United States citizens, we do have rights and we do have a constitution in place that does protect us. And the people that we vote into office are beholden to those promises that we all hold as Americans.
Tashmika Torok, thank you so much for talking with us on Stateside.
Thank you.